You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, we got the state, we got the national. This show covers down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Monday, 2:06 p.m. on Monday, October 3rd. We're in October. Hey, listen, as I jump into my comments, though, let me just say this. I like to sit down sometimes when I'm really studying a topic, especially if it comes from another source has been translated to English. I like to do a word study. I like to nug down. You ever done a word study? What I mean by that is to take the sayings of great thinkers or leaders or even verses from the Bible and break them down in their original context or even their original language. It's amazing how much we take for granted within the English translation of something that doesn't actually translate well from its original source. Well, here's an out-there kind of thought for you. What happens when we study the word peace? And I'm talking about peace like P-E-A-C-E, not a piece of pizza. I'm talking about peace like calm. Well, in the English language, peace is a noun, sometimes an adjective. Peace in English is a thing, or at the very least, a descriptive term. But what about this? Can peace ever be a verb? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Colt Manufacturing developed a world-class pistol, called it the Peacemaker. It is possible for nations to make peace treaties. It is possible for persons to have peace or to know peace or to seek out a peaceful moment in a busy schedule. But can you actually do peace? Can peace be an action? Not in English, apparently, but going back to the scriptures, like I said a minute ago in Matthew, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," one study I read said the original Greek translation did not have a true Greek word to pull from and had to rely instead upon Hebrew tradition. Because in Hebrew, peace can also be a verb. In that language, in the Hebrew language, the answer to my question is yes, it is possible to do peace. I mean, it almost sounds like an oxymoron, I know, like we're taking opposites and making them attract. Well, the idea of peace in the English language sounds calm, but the idea of peace in Hebrew is just the interim phase between conflicts. A brief respite in an otherwise chaotic world in which we catch our breath and we keep doing all that's necessary to preserve the peace while also preparing for war. As George Washington said in his first annual address to Congress, "To be prepared for war is the most effectual means of preserving the peace." I believe it was a verb tense version of peace that Ronald Reagan intended when he pressed for the idea of peace through strength. Reagan believed that the best time to prepare for conflict was when there was not a conflict, and that by doing so, our enemies would see us as too big of an obstacle and therefore avoid the conflict, and by doing so, we'd have more peace. In effect, Reagan was doing peace. And I tell you what, I got to pause from there and take a moment to tell a personal story. It's a family story. It's one that I may have shared in the past. My father worked at the Army Missile Command in Huntsville in the latter part of his time in service. And once he retired from the Army, he went to the Pentagon as a contractor working on what was then known in the mid-80s as the Strategic Defense Initiative. The public knew it as Star Wars. It was a space-based anti-missile capability that the Soviets were scared to death of and that we secretly were having trouble mastering. In other words, one of the best-kept secrets was that as we prepared for this portion of peace through strength, it really was not a viable plan. But the Soviets didn't know that. In 1986, Ronald Reagan held his second summit with Mikhail Gorbachev, leader of the Soviet Union, at Reykjavik. The summit went on for days, a great deal of wrangling and negotiating by both sides related to nuclear disarmament. My father told us that the story was made known to the office he was in, that Reagan was on the cusp of taking Star Wars off the table. I mean, it wasn't working truly anyway. It was a way for Reagan to move the talks forward. And when the project manager told the team that, the story that we got, my dad said he told the project manager that'd be a mistake. He said, "We know that things aren't working the way we say they're working, but Gorbachev doesn't know that." He said, "If we keep Star Wars on the table, it'll make Gorbachev panicky, and he'll know he has to capitulate or invest massive resources that the Soviets don't have. So let's let him chase this rabbit." The project manager thought about it and told Dad to write that up right away, which he did. So overnight, my dad created a case study / white paper that was then forwarded to Secretary of State George Shultz and Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger. And they received it, and the next morning, Reagan went back to the table And he told Gorbachev the U.S. would not back down on Star Wars. And the Soviets eventually capitulated, and they agreed to more reductions in arms than they had ever planned. And a few years later, Gorbachev began the process of taking the Soviet Union apart, and the Cold War was over. It's a great family story. I don't have any documentation for it. I wish I did. But my brother and I love that story. In a sense, my dad was doing peace. He was helping Reagan to do peace. They were treating peace like a verb, knowing that to preserve peace and to seek peace that one must sometimes do and not just be. Now, y'all, the world's an unsteady place right now. I look around and I wonder sometimes if we've seen it all, and then another amazing factoid emerges that seems to throw chaos into the lives of everyday folks. It's seemingly everywhere. I mean, you got frustrations with pandemic and pandemic response. You got defund the police and the rise of crime. You got tearing down of traditional values. Assaults on kids and families and the undermining of parental authority. A recessionary economy. The southern border is more porous than a slice of Swiss cheese, and the U.S. military can't meet its recruiting goals. I could go on and on, but you don't need that. You need peace. Well, let me suggest to you, it is absolutely possible to have peace and to do peace at the same time. And we have to. Don't for a second think that if you get a minute to breathe freely and relax that it means there's nothing left to do. Consider it like in the Hebrew version of the word, in the Hebrew term for peace, that indicates that peace may be upon you, peace may be a thing to be grasped, peace may be a restful moment, and peace may be a thing that you have to do. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's not an idle job to be a peacemaker. It's a busy existence. And strength and preparation and forward thinking, those are all the doings of peace. And by the way, peace can be restful, and you can be at peace even when everyone around you is losing their ever-loving mind. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. I've got it. I know a bunch of you do as well, but I will not be idle, though. It's that old keep calm and carry on kind of thing. So remember, peace can be a verb. It's an action. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. That's like two or three in a row I've been philosophical as I approach this stuff. But, y'all, it's kind of neat. When you look up peace in the Hebrew, yeah, it can be used as a verb. It can literally imply that there are things that need to be done in peace. And that's where we got to be. Take a break. Catch your breath. We're between the conflicts. But always prepare for the next day. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so, hey, by the way, if you missed it, we sent a text message out. That's the first time we've ever done that. That was, we will not abuse the privilege, but it was very cool. Once you're in our text system, we can occasionally send you, like, alert messages or remind you that we got a big thing coming up. We sent one out earlier today, just letting folks know, hey, if you missed the interview with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin that we had on Friday, which was, like, just, that was so cool. General Boykin, if you're not familiar, retired three-star general, one of the first members of Delta Force, he literally has been on more amazing missions that they've made movies and written books about that it would just boggle the mind. And yet he's also somebody who's an outstanding patriot and a deeply committed Christian. And he's not afraid to talk about both, man. He'll just say it like it is. And he went on to be a three-star general despite some massive wounds that he received in the invasion of Grenada. Even at one point, the doctors told him he would lose his left arm, and he looked at the doctor and said, well, God has already assured me otherwise. You just do the best you can. And the arm is still there and doing great, by the way. He went on to command all U.S. Army Special Forces and then worked as a Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the Pentagon before he retired. Anyway, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, that interview was great, and it is up on all of our podcasts. You can get to it. We sent the link out to the website. RightsideRadio.org is our website, and it has all our stuff on it. All of our podcasts, all the things that we wrote. My latest piece is out today. 1819's got it. About 15 newspapers around the state publish an op-ed that I write weekly. And so, yeah, all that stuff is on the website, RightsideRadio.org, to include all of our podcasts, because we take the show every day. Boomer breaks it down into segments. Birdman uploads it into podcast form, every form known to man, and we have it out there. And we just, what did we hit, Boomer? We were what,
83,000.
Over 83,000 downloads.
Pretty awesome.
Of the Right Side Podcast.
And the one with Lieutenant General Boykin is climbing up the ladder.
Is it really? Wow.
It is.
No kidding.
It's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, cool. All right. There it is. Lots of stuff. And I got some text messages about it too, by the way. Folks saying one of the best interviews we've had. Great to hear, you know, someone talk in that vein. Jake from Fayetteville just texted in, said, enjoyed it. True Christian soldier, patriot. He should be mass produced. I agree with that. We need more of him. Anyway, bunch of folks reacted positively. And Tom from Huntsville also texted in and said it was a great interview, a real hero. Afterwards said, I went to Wikipedia to read more and view his photos. Anyway, all right, folks, listen. It's on there, rightsideradio.org, got all our stuff. Got a caller on the line? Is that Allie? Allie from Athens. How's my friend Allie doing?
Your friend Allie is doing really well. And, you know, I love my time being around General Boykin, and I mentioned that to you on Friday, but one of the things that I think people need to realize is that he was a part of two what appeared to be dreadful failures.
Oh, yeah,
there's
no doubt.
The rescue from Iran and Mogadishu, and yet, I believe because of his skill as a soldier as well as his faith, he never wavered. I mean, the kind of backlash from both things that happened would have withered people of much lesser stature. And that's one of the things that when I heard him speak just spoke to me, that the guy has gone through hell, literally, and injuries and everything else, and he has just stayed steady. And that is what we need so desperately in this hour. His interview is marvelous. I just wanted to say one thing.
Yeah.
The change in me, when I first became a Christian, a hippie Christian, it was still very much rooted in a lot of the feeling of passivity. And it was the era of conscientious objectors when it came to Vietnam.
Right.
And, you know, The T-shirts, seriously, Phil, there were T-shirts that had Jesus looking like Che Guevara on it.
Yeah.
It took a while to come away from the zigzag man. and really understand that Jesus is the one who said two things, and they don't conflict. When he sent the disciples out the first time, he said, don't even take a purse. Second time, take your sword. And so when you look at the nature of God, he describes himself as being Yahweh Shalom. And I mean, that word, it's like any Hebrew word has about 90 definitions
right,
to it.
Right.
But one of my favorites is the whole idea of completing and finished and being sound and uninjured and even recompensing. So you've got that. But he also describes himself as being the Lord of the armies. And yeah. I wouldn't mess with him. Deal with his nature. Let him be who he is and roll with it. That's what I want.
That's good stuff, Allie. You're going to have to co-host the show for me one day. You know that, right?
Oh, careful what you wish for.
All right, Allie. Thanks, my friend. Have a great day.
You.
All right. Well, that was good. She always got great input. And I'd forgotten, she told us on Friday that she did get to know General Boykin, too, at some point during a speech. But yeah, and listen, by the way, I completely agree. It is so possible to love the Lord and yet know that you've got to fight when necessary. And there's nothing in Scripture that contravenes that. It doesn't say you go out there and look for a fight, but you got to be ready to finish one. I believe in that. I get asked all the time, did you fight a lot growing up? No, I finished a few, but that's about it. But you know what I'm saying? That's the attitude. But it's got to be a healthy version of peace through strength. It's got to be the kind that says, I am actively engaged in the doing of peace, pursuing it. And I agree with Allie. I don't think there's any contradiction in Scripture at all about that. All right, we got plenty on the table for today's show. I think we can get to it. I deliberately did not get a bunch of guests lined up today just to see if we can get through the triple dipper. What do you think, Boomer? I'm thinking we can make it, man.
I think we can make it today. I think so. It's going to be awesome.
We'll
great
see.
Show. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Depends on the audience. They start calling in, I'll just sit back and enjoy my time with my audience. All right.
There you go.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.